You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to A to Z Sports, powered as always by the BetMGM app. I'm Austin Stanley. He is Jack Gentry, the Titan Up podcast, and we are Nashville's on-demand sports talk network, going live weekday morning at 8 Central Time on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Link to the show segment by segment on our Twitter X timeline. Also hit us up on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads for more great Titans content. We got to thank our sponsors because they make it happen for us, and they help out all of you, like Wilson County Hyundai. WilsonCountyHyundai.com is where to go to make them a part of your new car buying process. The Bone and Joint Institute, boneandjointtn.org, the region's destination for comprehensive orthopedic and sports medicine care. Farm Bureau Health Plans, get better with Farm Bureau Health Plans at fbhp.com/ATOZ. And Krebs Kubota, an elite Kubota dealer with three great locations across the mid-state, Columbia, Franklin, and Murfreesboro. They are online at KrebsKubota.com. So I am playing with limited vision. My computer is also being the absolute worst this morning. I can barely see the keyboard through this stupid beard. But here we are paying off the magic bucket about 2 weeks late. But we're here. We're doing it. So I'd probably look more like the Billy Bob Thornton bad Santa than I do a real Santa. But at least I have a great Santa costume for later in life.
Yeah, because you got
I've got the full jacket. There is a hair wig. I did not have time to do that. It came with a belt. Oh, it came with gloves and shoes. And I, you know, so look, I think overall the glasses, the hat, and the beard will suffice for our show today. Jack, are you ready for me to do this? Because you did this. You did like Dumbledore, Titans Dumbledore a few weeks ago. But here we are paying off the Santa magic bucket.
I was rocking the beard and the wig, and let me tell you, it's the worst show that you're ever going to have. Yeah. You're going to be itchy. You're not going to be able to drink your water. It's going to get in the way. It might fall off during the show, and adjusting it is a bit of an issue. But yeah, it's going to be the worst show you'll ever have. But after, you're going to feel a whole lot better. You might need to wash your face because it is itchy. But hey, we're here now. We're paying off the magic bucket. It's what we do.
That's right. All right. So let's dive into this Titans conversation today. Like the show if you think I look like an idiot. So hit the like button on Facebook and on YouTube. But we're going to have a really good conversation about these two wide receivers at the top, because Rome Odunze out of Washington and Malik Nabers out of LSU are wide receiver two or three in this class behind Marvin Harrison Jr. And I know Sam's talked about this from being at the NFL Combine, that I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr. has as big of a gap from wide receiver one to wide receiver two of this draft than Marvin Harrison Jr. might think. A lot of people believe that these two guys in Odunze and Nabers are right on the heels of MHJ. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is by far the best receiver in the draft, but these two guys are special behind them. And so, Jack, the Titans are in a situation that we know they could use a wide receiver. There's been all this talk and conversation from Brian Callahan about prioritizing guys who catch touchdowns and who sack the quarterback in the top 10 of the NFL draft. If Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon have it their way, they never pick in the top 10 again after this season, and if all goes how they want it to. So you have a chance to get a game-breaking wide receiver. And so the love triangle aspect of this is the fact that the Titans could be sitting there with wide receiver two on the board at seven. If the Chargers go offensive line at five, if J.J. McCarthy, another quarterback, goes ahead of the Titans at seven, and you've got these two wide receivers, which one do you choose? You can't have both. Both might be good. But which one do the Titans prefer on the board here? And I'm going to go to the updated top 50 player rankings from Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network. And he's got these guys really high. Daniel Jeremiah has Rome Odunze as the third overall player in this draft and Malik Nabers as the fourth overall player in this draft. Not just wide receiver two or three, but Daniel Jeremiah's top four players go Caleb Williams, quarterback USC one, Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver from Ohio State two, Rome Odunze, wide receiver Washington three, Malik Nabers, wide receiver LSU four. And if the Titans can get a top four player at seventh overall, that would be a magnificent victory for Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan, a position of need, and guys who can score the football and get inside the paint. Jack, what's your initial thoughts on Daniel Jeremiah having these two guys 3 and 4 on the overall big board?
Yeah, it feels like a lot of draft analysts are turning into politicians now with the amount of flip-flopping they've done with these two players. But, you know, Odunze showed up to the combine and balled out. That's something that Nabers did not do. You know, he didn't work out on the field. And Odunze, because of how great of a workout he had and, you know, his dedication and his work ethic to get out there in the three cone drill and run it five times to get the time he wanted, I think impressed a lot of people. And, you know, coming off of this last college football season, I think that, you know, there was a consensus that it was Nabers over Odunze. But now we're seeing some movement between those two players. Look, I think it's pretty obvious to say that if you're the Titans and both of those guys are on the board, you've already hit a home run. It's just, have you hit a two-run shot or a grand slam based on which wide receiver you want to wind up taking home?
Yeah, no doubt about that. And so it's wide receiver, grand slam. I think both these guys have obviously high opinions of them. Let's hear from Malik Nabers, the LSU wide receiver, on what he said at the NFL Combine when asked about meeting with the Tennessee Titans.
To my relationship, I mean, my meeting with the Titans, it went pretty good. You know, I never really had any bad interviews, I would say. You know, I wowed, you know, all the coaches with my, you know, my football intelligence.
How do you think you fit in offense?
Yes, sir.
How do you think you fit in?
I don't know. That's for them to, you know, move me around, like I say, and them find, you know, the best ways to give me the ball.
So there's Malik Nabers there. Had a good meeting. Didn't have any bad meetings. But Malik Nabers, here's what Daniel Jeremiah wrote about him as he ranked Malik Nabers at LSU, the fourth overall player in the draft. Nabers is a dynamic receiver with outstanding competitiveness and production. He explodes off the line in his release, creating immediate separation. He sets up defenders before snapping off his route. He isn't afraid to work in the middle of the field and has strong hands to finish through contact. When working back to the quarterback, he prefers to let the ball travel into his body, but his drops are limited. He can scoop low throws off his shoes and easily adjust to balls on his back hip. He does a lot of damage on slot fades where he uses his speed to win early, and he tracks the ball with ease. After the catch, he explodes through tackles and also has a nasty stiff arm. Overall, Nabers is an electric playmaker who reminds Daniel Jeremiah of DJ Moore with the ball in his hands. Now, Jack, I believe this was last week. We talked about Field Yates who compared Malik Nabers to another dynamic receiver in Tyreek Hill.
This is one of those picks where it feels like this one should be sprinting the card right to Commissioner Goodell. Tennessee Titans take Malik Nabers, number 7 overall wide receiver out of LSU. This guy had 27 forced missed tackles last season, Mel, and he's the most explosive player in the entire NFL draft. He's the closest that I can think of from a wide receiver to Tyreek Hill. Nobody is as explosive as Tyreek Hill, but when you watch him, you see traces, you see shade, you see sign, you see brief moments where you're saying to yourself, that guy runs away from defensive players a la Tyreek Hill. He does not need some long running head start. He gets the football and he is off to the races. 14 touchdown catches this past season for Malik Nabers, a big boost after just 3 the year prior. I think there's a case for him as a clear-cut top 5 player in the NFL draft, Mel, for the Titans, who need wide receivers in a major way to continue to help Will Levis, along with some offensive line reinforcements. I think Malik Nabers would be a terrific home run pick here for Rand Carthon, their GM at pick 7. What do you think?
All right, so Field Yates also has Nabers as a top 5 player in this draft. Jack, what quickly on Neighbors. I mean, do you agree he's a top five talent in this draft?
Absolutely. You know, and there's going to be some quarterbacks taken ahead of him, at least one or two that I believe Neighbors has an edge on. It's just based on what those teams need in front of, you know, Neighbors, and, you know, the quarterback obviously being a position that everybody's going to prioritize in the draft, especially at the top. So Neighbors for me is a bona fide blue chip guy, can't miss, top five range. So I'm very high on Malik Neighbors to answer your question.
All right, so let's then get to Rome Odunze and what he said about the Tennessee Titans at the NFL Combine out of Washington.
That was one of my first meetings, so, you know, going into it a little nervous, a little figuring out, you know, how those meetings are going to go. But good people as well, you know. They were also very, very diligent, asked me all the good questions, making sure I knew what I was talking about. I feel like, you know, I probably impressed them, hopefully. So it was another good meeting.
So another good meeting there from Rome Odunze. I'll read from Daniel Jeremiah's clip on Odunze, where he has Odunze as the third overall player in this draft. Odunze's big, athletic, wide out with exceptional hands. He can play outside or inside. He is refined and polished with everything he does. Uses a variety of releases at the line of scrimmage and is a clean route runner. Uses his strength to lean into defenders before separating out of his break. He thrives in traffic, possessing the ability to pluck the football and absorb big shots over the middle of the field. He makes some incredible adjustments on poorly thrown balls. He tracks naturally over his shoulder after the catch, is very tough to bring down, and has some nifty make-miss ability. He plays with a ton of passion and energy. Overall, Odunze is a complete player and reminds him of Larry Fitzgerald coming out of college. Oh my, Larry Fitzgerald, a Hall of Famer. Larry Fitzgerald, significantly better than DJ Moore, which is the Malik Neighbors comp. So let's go ahead, Jack, and get to the question of the show today to everybody watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Which top wide receiver prospect do you prefer for the Titans at the 7th overall pick? If they're going to go wide receiver at 7, it's going to be one of these two guys. Which of these two guys do you prefer as a 7th overall pick? Who would still be on the board that you'd take? If both are there, which one are you taking? So we'll get to your answers here in a second. But first, Farm Bureau Health Plans has been serving Tennesseans for about as long as Santa's been going around this earth delivering presents to kids. And Farm Bureau Health Plans can deliver better rates and better coverage for you. If you are a Tennessean and you're looking for that next level of health care, that next level of coverage, Farm Bureau Health Plans can set up that plan for you specifically based on your needs. They can save you money while getting you better coverage. That's exactly what happened with Zach Bingham 2 years ago, and Farm Bureau Health Plans rolling strong with Zach as his life continued to develop as well. He saved 20% per month on his health plan, but he got better coverage for it. Now he can go to the dentist, get his vision contacts without having to pay out of pocket because of what Farm Bureau Health Plans can do for him and what they can do for several of you out there. So if you're in Tennessee, they've been serving you for over 75 years. Check them out and get a quote online at fbhp.com/ATOZ.
If you're looking to get some skin in the game, do it with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. There's a great promotion going on right now for new users. Sign up with BetMGM and plug in our promo code A to Z Sports, and you'll get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet misses. Start off in the green. There's a lot of college basketball going on. I think they start around like 11 o'clock today. So if you're bored at work, want to sign up with BetMGM and get in the game, today's the day to do it. This month is the month to do it. BetMGM.com. Don't forget, bonus code A to Z Sports gets you up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet misses.
All right, so Jack, I will send you to the chat. If the Titans are going wide receiver at 7th overall, which of these two guys do you prefer? Is it Malik Neighbors or Rome Odunze? A lot of comments this morning here, Jack. I'll send you to the chat.
It's very split. JR starts us off on YouTube with Rome, and you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't read his comments earlier. He said that Neighbors is like the hot girl that's not interested in you, while Rome Odunze is cute and girlfriend material. I thought that was pretty funny.
We'll talk about the Malik Neighbors stuff a little later.
Exactly. Willie Madden says Neighbors. Titans Kyle leans Odunze. Rome from Stephen King, hashtag not Neighbors. We've got another Rome from Eric, Rome from Darren, Neighbors from Jake and Jeff and Billy and Robbie. So here's Rome from Billy and Robbie, I should say. Adunze from Jared. Neighbors from Matt. Rome Adunze from Brandon. Derek. Courtesy says, neighbors. And Cameron Strong says, Rome Adunze. Jared agrees. Johnny's on Adunze. IR Hoshi likes neighbors. Richie Guzman says, Adunze. Bucks Burner says, Adunze. Danny agrees. Brad Anderson says, neighbors. Deshaun, here's a neighbors run from Deshaun and Devin. And then we have Matthew, Orlando, Rooney, all chiming in for Rome Adunze. Darius says neighbors. Chris says neighbors. Ahmad says neighbors. But Scott says Rome. And Jason says neighbors. We've got Katie with neighbors. Robbie says Rome. And then we have Paul with Rome. Brian agrees. Brian Spivey says neighbors. Hello Lady says, won't you be my neighbors? It's close, but Adunze from Phil. Michael Kennedy's on neighbors. Sergey is on Adunze. Austin, both of these players are great, like I just mentioned. But if you have to pick one, you know, there's great things about both of them. Both are coming off back-to-back 1,000 yards receiving seasons in college. Both had over 1,500 this past season. You know, Rome Adunze had some big games late in the season that really vaulted him up into this conversation. And, you know, when you play six top 20 teams down the stretch and you average over 108 yards against those teams and you do it on a big stage like the college football playoff, you're going to get your name in the lights. And you know, I like the Larry Fitz comparison. Rome Adunze said he compares his game to Devontae Adams' game. So that's an interesting little comp right there. But for me, I'm a Malik Nabers guy through and through. You talk about explosive. You talk about yards after the catch. We've heard about his route running precision. He turns 50-50 balls into catches. I mean, that's the guy the Titans have been missing since A.J. Brown left. Malik Nabers comes from the wide receiver factory that is Louisiana State University. There's proven guys that have come out of that school and done well in the NFL, not just well, but all pro well. And that doesn't mean that Malik Nabers is going to be hit just because the guys before him succeeded. But right. What Malik Nabers can do with the football in his hands is special. I think he's more of like a skinny Deebo Samuels because he can make people miss. He can stiff arm people and just break away from, you know, the third layer of the defense and turn a 20-yard gain into a 60-yard touchdown. So for me, to make this offense more explosive, which has been the goal the whole time, Malik Nabers is that guy for me. I prefer Malik Nabers over Rome Adunze.
Yeah, I think, look, both guys are really damn good. If I'm splitting hairs here, which I keep having to get out of my mouth, I'm going to go Malik Nabers too. Because, Malik Nabers, I think, creates separation more with his techniques and his route running ability than his physicality. And I think when you're going into the NFL, and if you are looking at wide receivers that can translate from great production in college to great production in the NFL, you have to be able to create separation. And both of these guys, and Malik Nabers and Adunze, do create separation. But I think it's the fact that Malik does it more with his footwork, his quickness, his ability to set up defenders with a route concept and understanding of route trees and how to run the routes and the intricacies there. I think Rome Adunze could absolutely do that, but it's more of Rome Adunze's nature to win with his physicality more than win with his feet, right? And so I think that's where if I'm giving the edge to one of these guys, I put Malik Nabers over Rome Adunze because of that. I think both of them have football personality. Both of them are alphas. They're the dog that everybody talks about on social media. They have the competitiveness. They're the right football personalities. But the football separation for me is literally Malik Nabers, his ability to create separation early in his route. Because we all know, Brian Callahan said this back at the Combine. If you win early on the outside, then you can throw early. When if you can throw early, then your offensive linemen don't have to be elite. You know, your offensive line had to be elite with what the Titans wanted to do with the play action game. And it worked in 2019 and 2020 when they were averaging 30 points a game. But when the offensive line's bad and you're trying to run slow developing routes down the field with wide receivers who don't win early and you're relying on the play action to suck up the linebackers to throw over the top of them to NWI and to Treylon Burks, you know, you're going to get sacked and you're not going to get open quick enough. And so I think it's Malik Nabers helps you win early to throw early so you can spend the second round pick on an offensive lineman with Bill Callahan.
Yeah, I like it. And, you know, I compared him to Deebo Samuel after the catch. I think prior to the catch, he's got a little CD Lamb in him. Kind of the same size, can win it, can win, like you said, can win at the line of scrimmage. You know, he's a three-level scorer when it comes to catching the football. He can do it at the line of scrimmage and take a screen pass for a touchdown. He can get you a first down on third and eight, and he can hit you over the top for the big home run ball that Will Levis is going to be throwing next season. So I think that Malik, and I'm not saying that Roma Dunze can't do those things. I just think Malik Nabers does them a tick better than Adunze does. So, you know, just with the explosiveness, and I do expect Malik Nabers to run a faster 40 than Adunze's 4.45, which is a great time, by the way. I just think that
Adunze, Rome was at a 4.45? I thought he was a little faster than that one.
He may have been. I believe it was a 4.45. I can pull that up real quick. But either way, yeah, it was a 4.45. But I think that Nabers is just a little better in a couple of categories, like yards after the catch, which I value big time, especially after a Titans offense that had, you know, their best yak guy was their tight end in Chigakonkwo. You need some of that on the outside. So bringing in Nabers, I think, kind of checks some of the boxes that Callahan had in Cincinnati with Ja'Marr Chase. You know, I get that they're not the same size, but I think that Malik Nabers can do some of the same things that Ja'Marr Chase can do in route running and with his explosiveness. You know, Nabers, I think, brings a different dynamic after the catch. And so for that reason, Nabers is my guy right now.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is outside of what I mentioned of the how they create separation, because I'm reading once again, I'm reading from Daniel Jeremiah, and this is what the film shows. Rome uses strength to lean into defenders before separating out of a break, right? So that could be seen as pushing off, which the Titans have that in DeAndre Hopkins. That's how DeAndre Hopkins creates separation, is by doing that, where Malik Nabers, from Daniel Jeremiah, says he sets up defenders before snapping off his route. So it's usually in space. He's creating that separation before he has to lean through. I do think the one drawback to Nabers is not catching with his hands when working back to the football. You know, when you're making that that stop route, you have to come back to the quarterback and stick your hands out to help the ball not be broken up by a defender. So if you're saying which guy's the more hands catcher, Adunze is a hands catcher more often than Nabers is. Both of them have really good hands. Neither of them has drop issues. And so I think that's where Malik Nabers overall wins for me, is the separation idea. But yeah, I'm not going to be out on, if they take Roma Adunze at seven, I'm totally down with that.
Yeah, and you want to talk about a skill set that both of these guys have that fit into the Titans offense, is both of these players are capable of tracking balls that are either underthrown or overthrown down the field. They're excellent over the shoulder. They're excellent deep ball guys, and they both make great adjustments, you know, when the ball is in midair. And, you know, sometimes Will Levis's accuracy was a bit of an issue last year at times. Getting a guy like that who can, you know, turn a ball that was thrown a little high or a little low, you can go pick it off your shoestrings or go up 10 feet and snag it with one hand near the sideline. Like, those guys are both capable of doing these things. It's just what happens after the catch that has me, you know, kind of siding with Nabers in this conversation. And also, when you hear guys like Steve Smith, who isn't wrong about receivers often, say that, you know, the way he runs routes is artful. I mean, that gets me going. That's a guy who I trust with his wide receiver evaluations. You know, he was right about Jerry Jeudy not being that guy. He's probably right about Malik Nabers being that dude. So, you know, and I'm not just saying just because Steve Smith said it, you know, I agree with him no matter what. But I do think it's important to add that kind of level of context into this discussion, where Malik Nabers, I think, is just a little bit more well-rounded than Adunze, but not by much. It's very close.
All right. Let's get to our next conversation about this, because there was a video that came out from Malik Nabers at the NFL Combine that we want to know if this is a big deal, small deal, or no deal. So I'll play it once. It's quick. But CBS Sports interviewing Malik Nabers for a TikTok-style piece of content where they have different choices, multiple-choice question based off the city that he would want to live in, that he would be drafted on. So things like, what's your favorite flower? What's your favorite bird out of this that represent four different cities? What's your best tourist destination out of this? And which concert would you want to go to? And Malik Nabers' answers created two potential landing spots in the NFL draft. And here's what happened on CBS Sports.
Either going to the Titans or the Falcons.
Oof. That's pretty good. I ain't gonna lie. Atlanta wouldn't be too bad.
Atlanta would be too bad, but he started that off with an oof. So we're going to ask if this is a big deal, small deal, or no deal to you guys right now. Big deal, small deal, or no deal. Oof. And then he said, you know, Atlanta would be fine, but no mention of the Tennessee Titans after the oof there. So we'll get to that. But first, the Bone and Joint Institute is where you should turn for all of your injury needs. Whenever you get hurt in life, you have to know who you can trust and who you can go to. The Bone and Joint Institute, they're the region's destination for comprehensive orthopedic and sports medicine care. They can take care of you. They've done it with me for a few different injuries, whether it's my knee, a shoulder, or plantar fasciitis that I had a couple summers ago. Boneandjointtn.org is how to book an appointment. They've got all the experts right there under one roof, all the resources under one roof, and the technology to make it easy on you. So check them out, boneandjointtn.org.
BetMGM, it's what the experts use. That's why it's called the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app, and new users can take advantage of a great offer going on right now. Plug in our bonus code A to Z Sports. You see it on your screen, A-T-O-Z Sports, and you'll receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet misses. Oftentimes, you get caught behind the eight ball. You're trying to dig out of a hole or chase your losses. BetMGM is going to keep you in the green early on. Download BetMGM. Use our bonus code A to Z Sports and get in on this offer. Up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet misses.
All right, Chase on YouTube says, need more likes. You are damn right, Chase. Like the show, like the show, like the show. If you're watching on Facebook, ho, 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 like the show. Thank you, Chase, for that. So I'll play the video one more time of Malik Nabers in the CBS Sports game of where he would land on personal preference there. And then we'll ask big deal, small deal, or no deal, the oof that followed Titans or Falcons, followed by him answering, oh, Atlanta would be
either
nice.
Going to the Titans or the Falcons.
Oof. That's pretty good. I ain't gonna lie. Atlanta wouldn't be too bad.
Atlanta wouldn't be too bad. Jack, what do you think here? Big deal, small deal, no deal?
Yeah, let's dive into the chat first, and then I'll give my opinion real quick. Curtis C says no deal. John Doe agrees that it's a no deal. Chris Frazier says small deal from Amar. Big deal, take a Dunze. So it's a big enough deal that Jared is scared off of Nabers completely. Small deal from Darius. Small deal from Derek. Big deal from Stephen King. Hashtag oof, hashtag not Nabers. Big deal from JR. No deal from Jesse. Small from Scott. No deal from Titans Kyle. Big deal from Brian Anderson. No deal from Curtis C. Willie Madden says it's a small deal. We've got Deborah at no deal. Same with Jason in Houston. Big deal from Bucks Burner. Small deal from Brad Anderson. Big deal from Johnny. No deal from Deshaun. Big deal. Take a Dunze from Jared again. I guess he commented twice. No deal from Guy Mann. Big deal from Jody. No deal from Christian. Small deal from Devin. Small deal from Michael. And a small deal from Daniel and Asil. So, you know, mixed answers throughout the chat. Austin, for me, this is a total no deal. I mean, this is not even close to a deal. I think that, you know, in the time between the NFL season, you know, closing and the draft, a lot of people look too deeply into certain things. And I think that in this circumstance, some Titans fans, not all Titans fans, but some Titans fans are taking this a bit too personally. Look, he was surprised with a weird quiz, you know, at the combine, and he was presented with two teams. Both were surprises to him. And, you know,
they were like, top 10, right? Like, yeah, and that's exactly. And that's what the game was set up for him to pick and land in a top 10 drafted city. And this was like, this was about the city and the fit, right? And the way he answered the questions with concert, bird, flower, tourist destination. I can't remember if there's anything else in that. He picked a couple Atlanta things and he picked a couple Nashville things.
Yeah. And we talked about this on the Tighten Up podcast. Like, I think it was an oof, like a oof. Now I got to make a decision. Will I say something? You know, she's putting me in a tough spot where I might say something wrong here. oof, like, how am I going to answer this? But yeah, you touched on it before we went to the ad reads. The worst part of this has to be when he was presented with those two options and goes, you know, Atlanta wouldn't be too bad, and doesn't say anything about the Titans. I think that that's, you know, that's obviously not something we want to hear. I'm wearing my Titans hat today, so it's not the best thing that we could have seen on the internet, but I don't think it's a big deal. It's not like the Titans are going to be scared of drafting him because he's not sure of Nashville, or, you know, some quiz where he chose the Mockingbird in the Country Music Hall of Fame didn't, you know, go the Titans' way, you know, at least after he was presented with his option. So I don't believe it's a big deal at all. He's not going to say, he's not going to demand a trade if the Titans draft him. Mm-hmm. The Titans need a guy like him. Whether or not this kind of rubs you the wrong way shouldn't matter. Don't take things too personal at this point. These guys are asked tough questions all throughout the week in the combine, and maybe he was just mentally fried. So I'm not taking it as a big deal. It's a no deal for me, Austin.
I do agree. It is a no deal. I feel like it is a early lesson for Malik Nabers that he unfortunately has to learn that everything, every word, every sound effect that you make will be scrutinized and will be analyzed. the oof. I mean, I think that was his true feeling. I think oof was like, oh God, like, ah.
Neither places, like, we've got to be self-aware as Titans fans. Like, this is not exactly, you know, a metropolis for a wide receiver right now. Neither is Atlanta. So even though, like, he said the quiet part out loud, right? Like, oof, like, I may have to build this thing from the ground up wherever I go.
Yeah, but I also don't think it's a deal at all. I'm with you, a no deal. I think it is a silly game, but it got it got a lot of engagement from CBS. I just think it's a, you know, there's a right way to do all that, which is to answer it in a way that doesn't get any type of reaction. It's like, oh, look, hey, okay, stay in the SEC, right? Like, oh, you know, he's been in Atlanta for SEC title games the last couple of years, or 2 years ago. And so he knows what Atlanta is all about. I don't know if LSU has played at Vanderbilt. I don't think they have since Malik Nabers has been at LSU. But Nashville is Nashville, Atlanta, the two best cities in the South when it comes to the SEC country. So I think it could have been done better, but no deal at all. But people are always going to lean into this thing and take everything you can out of it. But you just have to be as diplomatic as possible and not give anybody anything the rest of the way.
JR comments, he said, imagine asking a girl out, Jack, and she says, oof. Look, I get it. That would suck. But the Titans weren't asking Malik Nabers out right there. CBS was playing a silly game. That's like a blind date. And you go, you know what? What's your favorite food? She says it's shellfish. Well, you've got an allergy to shellfish, but that shouldn't turn you off of her completely. Like, this is,
I mean, totally, it depends unrelated on how bad the allergy is.
Sure. But you know, these things are totally unrelated. The Titans had played no part in this game. Like, they were just, you know, they were guilty by association just by being thrown out as one of the options there for Nabers to choose from. And this, so the Titans, like, he didn't say anything wrong to the Titans. In fact, we heard from him earlier in the show, and he said that he thinks he wowed some people in the Titans building with his football intelligence. That's the important interview, not the CBS game of what's your favorite bird with all four state birds.
Like, yeah, the mockingbird is probably the most recognizable of the four. You know?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. But, like, I mean, how would you?
I don't think many 21-year-old guys or football players are studying up on bird watching in between their NFL combine interviews. They're like, oh yeah, I know what a red herring is, or I know what there was some crazy ass bird that they listed in that I don't know what, like, a, like, but oh, mockingbird. Yeah, that sounds like I can repeat that back to her. I think I read a book about that in high school. Like, it was like, that's probably why he answered mockingbird, because I don't know what I would do. And he picked rose as a flower because that seems obvious. That's easy. I don't know what these other flowers are, so I'll go with the one that I know, rose. And then he went with the Country Music Hall of Fame, which was interesting, but that was probably one of the better attractions as far as the other things that were listed there.
Yeah, and like one of the other ones was like Hamilton. Like, who cares? Like, what wide receiver in college football is dying to go see Hamilton in theaters on Broadway?
That's what it was. It was Broadway because it was the Giants.
I mean, give the kid a break, man. Like, I probably would have done the same thing if I was up there, and I'm 10 years older than that guy. So I think it's a no deal. I think that Titans fans have to be careful and taking things a little too personally, a little too close to the heart in some of these situations where, you know, guys are just doing rapid fire interviews. Like at that point in time in Indianapolis, Malik Nabers had spoken to probably 1,000 people, and he was probably a little mentally worn down, especially considering he spent a little more time, you know, with the media than these other guys, because these other guys had to prepare for their on-field workout, where Malik Nabers said, you know what, I'm going to do it at my pro day. So little extra distractions going on for Malik Nabers up there. I don't think it's a big deal, and I don't think Titans fans should worry too much about this. He's not going to want out of Tennessee if he's drafted here, because he's going to be the face of the franchise for the future. And he's got a quarterback who can do some things and help him become a consistent 1,000-yard receiver in this league. So, Malik Nabers, you're fine in my book. Titans fans, don't take this thing too seriously, please.
Yeah, Matt has a comment on YouTube. Says, Rome seems more outgoing and Nabers seems more introverted, and people have made opinions based on that. I don't know if Nabers is introverted. I do think it was clear to me that Rome Odunze is more comfortable behind a microphone on a podium than Malik Nabers, but that doesn't mean anything either. Like, Derrick Henry was maybe one of the worst people to interview early in his career because he was just not comfortable, didn't have reps or experience doing that. It seems like that's a natural fit for Rome Odunze to talk behind the podium, where Malik Nabers can grow into it. And Derek wasn't great by any means, but he absolutely, I think, had his best season in press conferences this past year, his last with the Titans. So, all right. So we've you got something to add?
Real quick, it's kind of just like Arden Key and Harold Landry. Like, Harold Landry, you see him on the field, you don't hear from him. Arden Key will give you the soundbite that you need to get some clicks. Like, just because he's a better interview doesn't make him the more attractive option. And I think we have to start separating personalities from the players, even, you know, aside from the red flags, which I don't believe either of these guys have red flags in their personality. But you take the player over the personality.
Thundering Ice says on Xbox, says, I think there's a great chance that Brian Thomas is the best of all the wide receivers in this draft. And that's kind of where we're going to head next, Jack, because we've been having this conversation of, all right, if the Titans go wide receiver at 7, which do you prefer, Nabers or Odunze? But what if they go offensive line at 7th overall? The 38th pick is their next spot. After that, they don't have a pick until the 4th round at 107. So they go nearly 70 picks without a player in that draft slot. So who would be your favorite of the 2nd round wide receiver options? So I'm going to show what we have right here. This is the top 10 receivers in this draft, according to ESPN.com. 10 are not going to go in the 1st round. I think 6 could. I think you could get 6 wide receivers, 6 offensive linemen. There's probably going to be 4 quarterbacks. Now you're at 16 players. Throw in 4 defensive backs and you're at 20. So I think it's a lot of these guys are going to go before you even get to the 38th overall pick. But these are the top 10 receivers according to ESPN.com, which I think for me, Jack, just to kind of create a situation here, I don't think the top 4 guys are going to be available at 38. I don't think Adonai Mitchell is going to be available at 38, and I don't think Xavier Worthy. So I'm going to remove 6 of these guys off the board for the 38th overall pick. Both LSU players, both Texas players, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Rome Odunze. There's others that could fit into this at 38 overall, but you're looking at Xavier Leggett, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, and Troy Franklin. Those guys could be right there on the board at 38th overall. We want to know, which of these 2nd round guys at wide receiver do you like for the Tennessee Titans? But first, I'll tell you should like about Krebs Kubota. They're an elite Kubota dealer because they have the best equipment and the best warranties in the industry with their direct line to the Kubota brand. They've also got the best customer service because of what they are with their family-owned and operated business that's been running for 18 years strong in the mid-state. KrebsKubota.com is their website. If you have any type of project around your home or your property, your commercial property, your business, Krebs Kubota can find that right piece of equipment for you, whether it's big or small, a new mower for your yard. If you got a tricky yard with a hill, a ditch in there, they've got you covered all the way down to a trimmer that you might need for those fine areas. Or if you need a big power unit, they got that with all the different implementations and applications for you around that property. Check them out online at KrebsKubota.com. There are three locations, Columbia, Franklin, and in Murfreesboro with Krebs Kubota.
BetMGM.com is a place to go online if you're looking to get some skin in the game this March. All types of things are going on. You've got spring training in full effect with the MLB season on the horizon. You've got draft props that are popping up. Guys, if you're informed, you can crush the draft. Do it on BetMGM. Sign up and get some extra cash in your pocket. Use bonus code A to Z Sports, and you'll get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet misses. Maybe you want to use it on a draft prop, a little juicy plus 250 prop. I know the Titans to take a wide receiver is around plus 140 right now. A little juice out there if anybody wants to download BetMGM and sign up with our bonus code A to Z Sports to get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet misses.
Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and older, Tennessee only, new customer offer, all promotions, other qualifications, other requirements. First online room money wager only. Rewards issued, non-double bonus bets, bonus packs, 5-7 days. For Birmingham, so call Tennessee Redline 800-889-9789. Jack, to the chat you go, where we need more likes as always. Who is your favorite second round wide receiver option if the Titans draft the offensive lineman in the first round? I threw up a graphic earlier. There's a few guys out there, Ladd McConkey, Xavier Leggett, both SEC guys, Keon Coleman out of Florida, also Troy Florida State. Troy Franklin is out of Oregon, or probably the top four names that could be available at 38 overall, not guaranteed to be available at 38, but what are some of these other wide receiver names that are popping up for the Titans at 38 overall?
Phil on YouTube wants Troy Franklin, Ladd McConkey from Reitz. IR Hoshi is a big fan of Mitchell from Texas. We've got Brian Thomas from Chris Frazier. Don't think he'll be there. Mitchell, Adonai Mitchell from Texas, from Michael Kennedy.
He will not be there at 38.
We've got Worthier Franklin from Thundering Ice, A.D. Mitchell from J.R., Xavier Worthy from Stephen King, Malachi Corley from Luman, a guy that we haven't mentioned yet, Western Kentucky kid. A lot of people are high on in this process.
Yep.
Ladd McConkey and Troy Franklin might be the only ones available. Keon Coleman from J.R., Keon Coleman or Franklin from Uri. We've got Keon Coleman from Willie. McConkey equals Kyle Phillips. I don't think that's a ringing endorsement from Ira Hoshi. Ladd McConkey or Keon Coleman from Orlando Jones. Jason Brown says it's Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. A.D. Mitchell from Amar. We've got Leggett or Franklin. If you're taking those six off the board, that's what Kenneth says. Billy is big on Franklin. Ladd McConkey from Reitz. We've got Xavier Leggett is going to be a beast from Steven. McConkey here. We've got Leggett from Lee Grant.
Ricky Pearsall was the Florida wide receiver. So Ricky Pearsall, I've seen get a couple comments too later on, Jack. Where are you going to go with this? Because there's some names that I think can be polarizing here at 38th overall.
I think DK Metcalf's in this draft, Austin. And I think he's coming out of South Carolina. Xavier Leggett, 6'4", ran a 4.39 40-yard dash. And it's not just the measurements. It's not just the on-field workouts that impressed me. He showed up in the SEC. He put up 178 yards on huge rival North Carolina to put his name on the map to begin the season. And then he went and put up 217 yards later in the season. Look, the guy's a beast, 1,255 yards on the season for South Carolina. Spencer Rattler wasn't always on his game. That South Carolina offense didn't really click this season, but Xavier Leggett sure got his. He's going to be a great red zone target for wherever he lands. If you skip out on a wide receiver in the first round, go get a guy who can get in the paint. Big, big emphasis from Brian Callahan on guys that can get in the paint. Xavier Leggett can do that. 6'4". He's 6'4".
I don't think he's 6'4". That was something.
He's 6'3". 6'3". 200 is like 25 pounds.
I don't know if he's 6'3". Xavier Leggett is some. He was listed at 6'3", at South Carolina. He was listed at 6'3", 227, and at the NFL Combine, that's where he got exposed, and it felt like there was a little bit of lying at South Carolina. Xavier Leggett was listed at 6'3", 227 at South Carolina. The Senior Bowl had him verified at 6'7" So he's under 6'1" at 219. So
that doesn't scare me off, though.
That is a 2-inch difference.
It doesn't necessarily scare me off. 6'3"
to under 6'1". That is lying your face off.
Well, yeah, but he's not lying. It's South Carolina who's lying.
That's what I'm saying. But like, but you're Jack, listen to what just happened. You were like 6'4", 4'3", 940. You're like, oh my god, he sees DK Metcalf. He's not DK Metcalf because South Carolina was lying over 2 inches different of height. And so he's 6'1". He's under 6'1". Look, he is. I think he's more AJ Brown than DK Metcalf. I think he's more cut. That's like fair. That. But he ain't 6'3". He ain't DK Metcalf. And yes, a lot of colleges and everything, you know, they lie in their media books or their fan information books. But that's a big deal. That's a big difference.
That's on me. I got by ESPN. And listen, it doesn't really matter. He plays very big. He's a very physical wide receiver.
He does play big.
He can go up and make tough catches, 50-50 balls. That's his game. He's a guy that, like I said, can score touchdowns and hit you with the big play deep like he did so often at South Carolina. The guy's going to be great in this league wherever he goes. If the Titans pass on a wide receiver at 7, which I think would be a massive mistake, I think that he would be a nice complement to DeAndre Hopkins in this Titans offense. And he does share some similar traits that Treylon Burks does, which is a little scary right now. But, I think that the reason why Treylon Burks doesn't succeed in the NFL is more of a mental thing than a physical thing. Xavier Leggett is a dog, and he balled out at South Carolina, made that offense respectable, and probably helped Spencer Rattler get drafted here in this upcoming draft. He'll probably be picked in the late rounds, but Xavier Leggett is a guy that I'm very high on, and I would not be upset with if the Titans found a way to grab him in the second round.
Xavier Leggett is not my answer. Again, I'll show the top receivers here on the board. I think Harrison, Neighbors, Adunze, Brian Thomas, and Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy, I think will all be gone, basically all but guaranteed to be gone with the when the Titans are on the board at 38. There are two guys that I think are fairly controversial, and it's Ladd McConkey and Keon Coleman. I think Ladd McConkey is controversial because 38 feels really high for somebody like Ladd McConkey, who is a basically non-recruited guy out of high school, goes to Georgia, and all of a sudden becomes into this dude. And you're like, damn, how is this guy just torching the SEC defenses? This guy is not that impressive. And then he goes out there, runs sub 4.440. He can jump. He's explosive. He's fast. He's top end speed. He's quick. He's got the routes. Ladd McConkey's interesting, but man, 38 seems so rich on Ladd McConkey. And then you've got Keon Coleman. Top tier says Coleman is a greater than Ladd. But Keon Coleman ran a 4.6140.
Yeah.
But then he turns around and has the fastest gauntlet drill in a while. And the gauntlet drill is more football speed translation than the 40-yard dash. But can Keon Coleman create separation consistently? I don't know. And that's where Keon Coleman really needs to go to his Florida State Pro Day and shave off a tenth of a second on his 40. If he can get down to the low 4.5s, that's a big difference. But if he can get to 4.51 instead of 4.61, I think the Titans could take Keon Coleman at 38. But if he can't get under 4.6, you're taking a 4.6 40 guy, 38th overall, who already has some separation concerns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like Keon Coleman. I agree, Steven. Keon Coleman is a dog. Like, he is an alpha. He is a go up and get the football and beat up the corner who's trying to get there with him. But I just don't know if you can take a guy who's that slow that high in the draft.
Yeah, it's easy to fall in love with his potential, though, right? Like, and we saw it week one when he single-handedly beat LSU. He outperformed Malik Neighbors in week one in that season opener. He had 122 yards and 3 touchdowns in that football game. but the speed, there's just too many, you know, too many ifs and too many question marks. And I think at 38, you need to go with a guy who's kind of, who's able to check all of those boxes. You can't be gambling in the second round. Gamble in the fourth round. Gamble in the fifth round. Do not gamble in the second round. And Keon Coleman, you know, I get that, you know, if he's able to reach his potential, he will be a all-pro caliber player. But I just think there's too many, there's too much risk involved with Keon Coleman. He was inconsistent last year. I mean, I think he had 200-yard games, and he kind of just disappeared at times. So a little scary for me. And he had Jordan Travis throwing to him. It's not like he had bad quarterback play.
Yeah, until the end. Patrick Bird says Coleman's play speed is better than his 40 speed. That's the problem with 40 people get hung up on that number. Give me a quicker football player, not a sprinter. I don't disagree. That's why I think all he needs to do, and I see Thaddeus, 40 speeds is not what makes a football player. Now speed is crucial, but D-Hop is not the fastest player, but he dominates in the league. Another one I saw, game speed is faster than combine time speed for some guys. So, totally. Yeah, a lot of that. That's why I said, like, if you can bump the 40 time just a little bit, 38th overall is a high, high draft pick. And so I think after the conversation, I really still believe that taking a wide receiver at 7th overall is the best bet, because the guys that are in the second tier after Harrison Neighbors Adunze, Brian Thomas, Adonai Mitchell, and Xavier Worthy, those guys have climbed up into the teens. I don't know if those three guys last until 24, 25. You know, I think then you see the teams like the Bills could take like a Troy Franklin, you know, late in the first round because he's got elite speed. If Xavier Worthy's not there, Adonai Mitchell and Brian Thomas are going to be gone by 20, I think. And so I really believe the Tennessee Titans will find a better second-round offensive lineman at 38 than the wide receiver at 38. So go wide receiver at 7, offensive line at 38, and then you can go back to the wide receiver well on day 3, because there's a – I heard Field Yates has 26 wide receivers in his top, what do you say, 120. That's a lot of receivers. Some of them are going to fall to you and on day 3 because people are scooping up wideouts. And so I think that's where I would rather get another wide receiver on day 3 and go at 7 rather than 38.
Yeah, you mentioned Keon Coleman, and there's a really interesting player that a lot of people are fascinated by that was teammates with Keon Coleman. And that's the 6'7 kid. Why is his name Johnny just Wilson. Now slipping? Johnny Wilson. And so he's going to be an interesting prospect there as well. So there's
a lot of people think he's going to be a tight end. A lot of people think Johnny Wilson would be like a Darren Waller, Jimmy Graham transition. Not saying he's going to be either of those guys, but he would have to do that.
If he wanted to, he could play power forward. But Lou Man says, Jack, teams who gamble win Super Bowls. And there are times to gamble and there are not times to gamble. Like the Titans have gambled in the draft with Caleb Farley. They gambled with Isaiah Wilson because he had a huge ceiling. And neither of those guys really panned out. You gamble when you're in a position to win your division and make a run in the playoffs. You gamble with a win now trade. You gamble by going all in at the deadline. Or you gamble by bringing in a guy like Odell Beckham Jr., who the Rams brought in a few years ago, who contributed to their Super Bowl run and was probably going to win Super Bowl MVP before he got hurt. That's how you gamble. You don't gamble in the draft. You got to take the sure thing when it's available. So, and there's going to be plenty of sure things in the second round that you can choose from. You don't have to go out on a limb and take a major risk when you really need to find a playmaker right now that can hop in this offense and help Will Levis develop.
Yep. Greg says, you guys need to talk about free agent wide receivers. Go watch yesterday's show where we laid out, Jack had a free agency class of 6 players. I had a free agent agency class of 8 players. So Greg can go check that out. John says, I've literally commented what you just said, Austin, like 3 times. It's okay. I don't mind the piggyback. I can barely see with this beard on. Like I have to physically be looking for chats where without the beard, I can like use my peripheral vision to check out the comment section. So I am playing a little bit impaired with this thing right there. Go check out yesterday's show. Yesterday's show was really fun. I think we really did a good job. And so I, you know, somebody said Titans need to go corner at 107.
That's kind of delaying the inevitable, isn't it? You know, well, you really need to fill two needs.
I think corner at 107 is probably correct, but you know, you never really know. But I think the Titans should draft two offensive linemen and two wide receivers this year. You know, so I think that's four out of your, what they have, seven or eight picks. That's you know, half of your class needs to be offensive line or wide receiver. But you got to have a corner in there too. I don't disagree with that. And you can go back to yesterday's show and figure out what cornerbacks we added in free agency. So, all right, Jack, it is now time to wrap up this week. Thank goodness. Wrap up this show with Ain't That Good News to send us to a great weekend. Here we go. Shout out Wilson County Hyundai. WilsonCountyHyundai.com is where to go to make them a part of your new car buying process. Go say hey to our friend Payne Bone in Lebanon. Save some money while going to Lebanon for your new ride at WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Drop your good news in the chat today. Good news, good news, good news. We want to share your good news here. I did see Jeff saying a good news. It's not raining in Italy. So he is in Italy watching the show. Appreciate that. And it is raining in Nashville. But I'm glad it's not raining in Italy for Big Ten Jeff.
Yes, good for you, Big Ten Jeff. I wish I was in. Mentally, I'm in Italy all the time. But no, my good news, Austin, is I am going out of town this week. This month is going to be very busy for me. I'm going out of town all the time. But I'm going up to Charlotte. One of my best friends got engaged. We're doing a little engagement party up there. So actually about 30 minutes after the show, I'm getting picked up. And we're driving. The drive is not the good news, nor is the drive back. The drive back's even worse news. But the good news is what happens in between. I'm excited to go to Charlotte. If you guys have any recommendations, throw them in the chat. I'm all ears. But Charlotte, I'm a big fan of it. I think it's like a Nashville light a little bit. Not as great as Nashville, but I think there's a lot of cool stuff about it. So Charlotte, that's my good news.
I actually bought a potential flight yesterday to Charlotte for the Vols. If they
is that where we think they're going?
They're either going to go to Charlotte or Memphis, it feels like, and I need to be prepared one way or the other. So I went ahead and jumped on a refundable flight for Thursday morning to Charlotte and Sunday night back home to Nashville. I guess I'll just turn this into my good news for my brother's bachelor party. We're going wherever the Vols go. And so that's a fun thing, but it's also been hectic because we've been tracking this stuff the last few weeks and it's like, all right, what, you know, Charlotte, Memphis, it could be Indianapolis. Now it feels like Indianapolis is out. If the Vols are a one seed in the West region, are they going to put them in Charlotte that is very, very East and not West region? If they're a two seed, then I think they're in Charlotte, but if they're a one seed, do they go Memphis or Charlotte? I don't know. I would rather Charlotte because I think Charlotte would be more fun of a trip than Memphis that we could just go to anytime. And so I went ahead and booked my plans are if it's in Charlotte, I have that flight. If it's in Memphis, then I'll just haul ass Friday morning down there before whatever the time that game is. So it'll be I'll use that as my good news to kind of piggyback off of yours, Jack, since apparently John Doe says I'm piggybacking today. That I might be going to Charlotte in 2 weeks if you're going this weekend. So I will ask you for recommendations after you go there too.
Hey, I'm happy to share my experience. Good news from Thundering Ice. Morgan Cox is back. He got re-signed yesterday, or at least agreed to terms. So that's exciting. Pandering to the Vols as well. Good news. Free agency is almost here. That's right. Wednesday, I can't wait. I'm counting down the days, Austin. Wednesday.
Next week is going to be amazing.
The show is going to be on fire.
Next week is my favorite week of the year for this show.
We've got Jared Gibson says, good news, election days on the horizon. Good news from Jacob. Hasn't completely lost it at his job yet. Jacob, it's Friday. No office explosions on Friday, okay? We're going to make it to the weekend. We're going to crack a cold one when we get off. We're going to sit back and we're going to relax. Jacob, hang in there, buddy. Good news. Trying to hit the lottery. Aren't we all, Rashid? That's great good news. Good luck to you. Hey, you know what? And if you hit it, keep me in mind. Maybe send me a DM. I'm interested. Let me get a cut of that. Good news. Oh, here we go. Got to watch the GOAT of soccer, Messi, play against Nashville SC last night.
Nice.
What a freaking game that was. And a heartbreaker for Nashville. 2-2, Suarez ties it up in the 94th minute. It was a fantastic game. Nashville SC was the better side. But unfortunately, away goals are going to be the tiebreaker. Nashville's got to go down to Miami. Miami's already netted two away goals and a draw in Nashville. And, you know, Nashville's going to have to do the same probably or come away with a win against a really formidable Inter-Miami squad. So really cool that you got to see him play, Demetrius. I know the ticket prices were much lower than they were the first time Messi came through. So really special experience. I'm sure you won't forget that. Billy Jones says it's not raining in Gulfport, Mississippi. Storm's coming later. Billy Jones is on the coast, boys. Let's go, Billy Jones. I know about the coast. We've got Omaha and Final Four this year for the Vols, Gabriel. That would be really good news for Vols fans. Mm-hmm. Let's see if there's any more. We've got Mr. Robinson bought a hammock, the ultimate lounge piece.
Ooh, nice. The
weather gets a little better. All right. A lot of good news.
A lot of good news. Hey, great week of shows, followed by next week will be the best week of the shows because, man, it's so much fun. Free agency week is going to be chaotic. It's going to be fast moving. So make sure that you've got your notifications on and you hit that like button. Like the show before you go. We appreciate you guys a ton. Have a great, safe weekend. Rest up so you can buckle up next week for a crazy week. We'll check you guys later. Appreciate it as always.
Tighten Up Pod is out.